This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hour 4, G-Bag Nation 105.3. The Fan, thanks for making us part of your day. It is time for football's finest. We're 20 minutes from the expressway. Here's the Chief. Take it away.
Thank you very much. 877-881-1053. Got a lot of good draft stuff here. How about that? 14 days away. And I saw from Scott Hansen, 150 days away to the first Sunday of the season.
Really?
He tweeted out, and he's still tweeting about red zone. Maybe Scott Hansen is not going to go away from us on our football Sundays, because he tweeted out earlier today, 150 days until red zone. So he's still kind of selling it like he's still going to be that guy, which is exciting.
He's reminding the NFL Network they've got 149 days to negotiate
to get
with
his deal done.
Yeah.
Okay, maybe that's what this is. I like that. So we have a couple of things to address, the first of which is the news on the best pass rusher in the draft out of Penn State, Abdul Carter.
Mike Green and a Marshall?
hey, I'll let you go with that.
I do love me some Mike Green, but I'm okay with Abdul Carter. I have him rated higher.
Adam Schefter says that
Abdul... stress foot fractures, huh?
Yeah, his medical recheck in Indy... he had it today, showed that the stress reaction in his foot is healing. Yeah. There has been improvement and no surgery will be needed. So we'll see how much less of a factor that would be, because I was wondering if a team like the Giants at 3, because it seems like it's going to go Cam Ward, Travis Hunter, and then at 3, the Giants, do they feel like they have enough guys on the edge? They've invested there a fair amount, and do they have questions about the health stuff? Would they go Ashton Jeanty route or something like that? I don't know. Make up for the Saquon Barkley stuff, but I guess if he's
double down,
they just overcompensate. Gosh. And just go Jeanty at 3. I mean, it can make some sense. I mean, Broadus, you mentioned it for the Patriots. I mean,
yeah,
really after 2, it's all bets are off. But it Abdul Carter with the health update here, and I believe he was visiting the Giants today. I'm sure that's the most likely way that this thing plays out. But that's certainly good news for him, because that foot stuff. If we were picking in the top 5, if it was the Cowboys,
it'd be concerning.
Yeah, absolutely.
I hate to draft a guy, and then it's like all of a sudden, damn, he's got to have foot surgery his rookie season, and he barely plays.
Now, Shedeur Sanders visited the Pittsburgh Steelers. Kay Adams asked him to grade the visit. He, of course, said it was a 10. 10 out of 10.
Of course it was.
So I actually had some odds. I would like to get y'all's thoughts on this. And we kicked this around a little bit on Love of the Star today with Broadus, but... Walchuk, I have a couple of over-unders for draft selection, NFL player props,
okay,
where these guys are going to end up.
Let's do this.
So, like, Ashton Jeanty, over-under pick 8. Do you think he will still be on the board at pick 8?
No, I think he's going to be gone.
Jackson Dart, over-under, pick 23.5.
I think he'll be gone.
Think he'll be gone by then.
Yes.
So you would go with the under on both of those guys.
Yeah.
Now, I think it's interesting on Jackson Dart. I saw this today, because that's one of the things where when you're evaluating these quarterbacks and it's the situation that you were in And Lane Kiffin is setting up Jackson Dart for success.
Oh, very much so.
I mean, the easy button stuff is through the roof there. And you love that as a play caller, but when you're trying to evaluate Jackson Dart, a guy who only had 14% of his passing attempts were actual dropback passes.
All shotgun.
Lane Kiffin's the type of guy that's like, hey, we'll hit you with a bunch of play action. We'll give you a bunch of RPO stuff, 10% screen rate. Like, we're going to make it as easy on you as possible, quarterback. So under 15% of his passing attempts were actual true drop back passes.
Yeah.
So it's something to consider. And then, like, on the flip side, Shedeur Sanders getting no help from a schematic standpoint with his coach. So I just feel like there's, you know, something interesting to when you're trying to evaluate these quarterbacks. It's so tough.
It's really a crapshoot.
How can you do it with Dart when that's the offense that he was fortunate enough to be placed in? Here you go, Walchuk. Omarion Hampton, running back, North Carolina. They have his over-under draft selection at 20.
Oh, man, because he could go right at 20. I'm going to end up going under here.
Under again? Okay. Would be, you know, what, three for three on unders right now.
Would it be a push if he went at 20?
Yeah, it would be a push.
Push.
You know what that makes me wonder, though? I mean, if the 12 and 40 are the same pick, I don't think it'd be that much of a reach to take Hampton at 12 if Vegas is projecting 20th.
Look, if like a Tedrone or McMillan were on the board, then I would say yes.
How fast is 4.46 to you guys, though? I mean, they say he's explosive, and I know he's big. He must be quick and strong.
He's super quick, and he's very strong.
But they say, I mean, home run potential. Does 4.46 spell that in the NFL?
I don't see like the type of explosive speed from him. I actually thought Caleb, that's why I favored Caleb Johnson a little bit. I thought he showed off a little bit more top speed in the open field.
Dawson, I've said this about this kid since January. He's DeMarco Murray. That's how he plays. I mean, he's got the ability to, he's a tough inside runner. He can get the ball to the edge. He just doesn't have, I don't think he has home run speed.
He's got that top end gear.
I just don't. I think that he's one of these guys that, you know, you talk about the vision, the creativity. He can navigate through a defense. That's something he does. The pad level, the balance. He's a hard guy to knock off his feet like DeMarco was. He just kind of a guy keeps his momentum forward. But there are times when you see him get caught. And that's where, you know, I think that long speed, you know, I mean, that, he's just not going to blow you away with that. But he's just the kind of guy that wears you down with his running style.
He does. He gets better as the game goes on. Yeah. Like, he'll beat you up with, like, here's a 3-yarder, here's a 6-yarder, here's a 4-yard gain, and then boom, he'll pop for a 23-yard chunk.
Yeah,
I think when you're talking about a power back, a physical guy like that, grinder guy who gets better as the game goes on, coupled with a 4.46 speed, I'd say that's pretty strong. That's pretty strong. How about this one? Shedeur Sanders, his over-under right now for draft selection is pick number 9. Zach Walchuk, over under pick number 9 for Shedeur.
Yeah, I don't see him falling past the Saints at 9 personally. So I guess I'd go under on that.
Okay, and then the Penn State tight end, Tyler Warren, over under pick 9.5. You think he goes in the first 9 picks?
I think he should go in the first 9 picks. I'd go over on that, though. I think there's some people feel differently about him. I think some might have Colston Loveland as the top tight end in the draft. I don't see that at all. But I'd take Tyler. We talked about that on the draft show today. I'd go Tyler Warren in the top 10 in a heartbeat. I love the dude. I love the way he plays. Mm-hmm. But some other teams might think like Broadus does and say he's not a top 10 pick.
Yeah, I wonder if Genty's gone, would the Bears want to make a pick like that because of the Laporta factor in that Detroit offense with Ben Johnson. And he's a guy that obviously can go in line as well. So now here's some analysis about Tet McMillan, a guy that most Cowboys fans, I feel like if we polled Cowboys fans of realistic options at 12, Tet McMillan would probably be right there at the top of the list. Big body receiver from Arizona. And this was Mina Kimes and Ben Solak talking about the idea that Tet McMillan, his stock's been falling. The mock drafts have him getting picked after the Cowboys at this point. So this is just their back and forth and discussion on why they think that is garbage.
Why do you think he's dropped? Catches everything, doesn't drop the football, big plays. That seems like something that a lot of NFL teams need, Ben. Like what do you think's behind it? And do you disagree with some of those reasons that people have?
A guy like McMillan's never going to win the combine, certainly not by not testing, right? Yeah. And then obviously Golden has himself a big day. A player like McMillan who does not run well on a 40-yard dash, ran a 4.53 at his pro days, is the kind of the official number. That player's just not going to rise during the pre-draft process unless he has, like, you know, crazy jumps or insane measurables. And McMillan has good size, good length. It's not like, you know, Mike Evans walking down the carpet. The comp for him, from my perspective, is Courtland Sutton. McMillan 6'4", 213. Sutton was 6'3.5", 218. Sutton ran a 4.54. McMillan ran a 4.53. And you brought up McMillan in contested situations. He's got a volleyball background. And we love a volleyball background at receiver because those guys tend to have really good body control in the air, excellent timing when it comes to addressing the football, and then the accuracy, they get their hands to the ball because they're used to striking. So you see that with McMillan. He's just so natural when he elevates. And so I have a guy who can win back shoulder for me, he can win red zone for me, and then he has good enough for me and routes and good enough explosiveness to win on that intermediate breaking menu. So to me, that's a wide receiver one through and through.
Kind of makes me want to make a volleyball team out of my receivers.
I know, you know, like, should that be
some off-season work?
Yeah, should we be doing when we're in California and enjoying the summer weather? Yeah. Like, get on some sand and get that work in from that standpoint.
The rudder room has volleyball nets. Sure, we could practice in the back.
Yeah, dude, let's get the fellas over there. Every once in a while, we'll see a coach from time to time. Why not see a couple of players over there having themselves a good time? So that was some encouraging analysis there. If you're wondering about Tet McMillan, and they talk about him being the guy that could be a number one wide receiver, but that's the best part, is you don't have to be that. Whatever receiver they take, you're the complimentary piece to CeeDee Lamb. Yep. What does that do for you? So Tet McMillan, Golden, whoever it is, I saw from DraftKings, they have the probabilities of first round position drafted for each team, 30% right now, that it's a wide receiver for the Cowboys.
It's definitely trending in that direction.
What do you think the second position is, according to DraftKings, most likely, that the Cowboys take at 12?
Running back?
No.
Corner?
Corner.
Yeah.
And then it's offensive line, then it's defensive line, then it's running back. Hmm. And Brian Schottenheimer, he's talked about this, and aren't the Cowboys pretty comfortable with allowing their head coach to have some say when it comes to this stuff?
He'll absolutely have say.
And he was at the owners' meetings just last week. He's talking about how over the last decade or so, and in this draft more than ever, you can find capable, impactful running backs all throughout the draft. So the depth and ability to find backs late make it to where it's not a priority. Mm-hmm. And so if that's the perspective of Schottenheimer, I wonder how much weight that holds in the war room if you have a couple of guys saying, hey, at 12, let's just get the biggest need that we have right now, which most people say is running back. Let's just knock this out. Schottenheimer raises his hand up like, fellas, I got 10 other guys that I like here that we can get round two, round three,
well,
whatever.
They will have had that discussion before the draft.
Sure.
Because when they put their stack together, they'll have
Hayes in the barn on draft night.
Yeah, what order they will go in. But yeah, the argument for that then would be when they go through the stack and start to talk about, okay, why do we have this running back in this spot or that spot?
I do think a huge thing coming up, though, in terms of the Cowboys at 12, Will Johnson, the Michigan corner, finally going to work out.
Yeah.
He's going to work out on Monday, 10 a.m. in Ann Arbor, mm-hmm. now that he's healed up from his hamstring. And that's one of your biggest questions about any prospect in this class, right? Yeah. Rodas, is just what's your speed?
Yeah, I have other corners ahead of him, and it's not just about the speed. I just think of the ability, but I will feel a lot better if he just gives me a 40-yard dash time, whether it's 4.56, 4.65, or if it's a 4.42. I just please give me a time to work with. That's all I want.
Yeah, and I think because every other box feels like it's checked off when it comes to the way the Cowboys like their
healthy
corners, right?
Yeah.
The healthy factor.
No, this past year he was banged up.
But that's all the top corners in this draft have some question about their health.
Even Barron?
No, not Barron.
I should – sorry.
Excluding him.
Sorry, but you're talking about Morrison.
Notre Dame.
You're talking about
Rebel from East Carolina.
Yeah, they've all got questions about their health.
And we were talking today on Love of the Star, Walchuk, like Broadus wants to go revel at
44.
At 44.
I'd love it.
Even if you didn't take the running back in the first round, and now you're going to wait until round three, very likely, to get your running back, if some of those Caleb Johnsons of the world are there, he's going with the off the ACL, but still tape tells you he's the best corner in the draft.
Yeah, he'd probably be my number one guy if it weren't for the ACL.
And the Cowboys doctor.
Dr. Cooper.
Dr. Cooper is the one who did the surgery, so we know Blue Star Special waiting to happen. How about the Falcons bringing in Matt Ryan to help mentor Michael Penix Jr. this offseason? That's how you get it done right there.
Man, I think Michael Penix might be like an under-the-radar story right now that's about to blow up.
Yeah.
I think it was Justin Simmons talking about some of the things he was doing last year in camp and practice, and he's like, this guy's the truth. I think if he stays healthy, conversation for top 10 easily this year.
I love that, especially in that division where, you know, you're going to have some opportunities against some teams that aren't the cream of the crop necessarily. But Raheem Morris, head coach of the Falcons, he's like, yeah, I want to bring in Matt Ryan so that he can just help out and mentor. He's like, I want to know what Penix's arm routine is. I want to know what he's eating, where he's traveling, how many days a week he's working out, because we think this guy has so much promise, so much poise. So they certainly believe in him there. Obviously, you still have the Kirk Cousins stuff that has to be dealt with. Now, I'll close it down here in the finest with our Throwback Thursday football clip of the day. I don't know if you guys were aware of this, but this is the 1 year anniversary of the death of O.J. Simpson.
Oh, I did not.
So this is one of the greatest lines ever. We take you back to the ESPYs, the night that Norm MacDonald took the stage.
And there's Charles Woodson. How about that? And what a season he had. Great, man. He became the first defensive player to win the Heisman Trophy. And congratulations, Charles. That is something that no one can ever take away from you. Unless you kill your wife and a waiter, in which case... all bets are on.
At the ESPYs, dude, Norm MacDonald pulling no punches. RIP to the late great as well.
Get him a body bag. That might be more harsh than what you did to Bobby Belt.
Yeah, I was trying to take away some of the blow of the diss track there with that one.
We'll replay that diss track for you coming up at 6:20 if you missed. It's getting quite a reaction on the text and on social media. I imagine it's on the fans' Twitter and Instagram page by now. We'll hit the expressway. Takeaways from an insane day at the Masters and an insane night at the AAC with Luka coming back and whooping the Mavs last night. Plus, everything that's been breaking throughout your broadcast day in the world of sports. That's all up next. LA Live at 5:40. We're back.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Zoe. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
In the nation. Yeah, buddy, welcome back. Let's hit the expressway. It's time brought to you by the On Time Experts. Okay, that's the presenting sponsor of the expressway, the On Time Experts. We'll get to this in just a couple of minutes. I'd love to get your thoughts on this. The Franklin Frankel injury attorney text line. Why was Cuban so bothered by the Fire Nico chants last night at 877-881-1053? We'll get to your text on that. I have a few thoughts in a moment. A couple of quick items here that caught my eye. This is 16 seconds on soccer. Don't go anywhere. Don't freak out. The MLS announced plans that they're going to explore a switch to its schedule that would align with the international calendar as early as 2027. They play in the 6 months that Europe doesn't. And it creates some issues. So I know a lot of local or domestic soccer fans will be interested in that one. But at the Masters, Justin Rose, he did bogey 18. That's such an impossible tee shot. I'm surprised anybody ever pars that hole. But he's 7 under. So he was at 8. He finished at 7. Defending champ Scotty Scheffler. Connors, 4 under. They're in with 68. McIlroy's fallen off. I didn't see him. Yeah, did he bogey bogey?
No, he double bogeyed the par 5 15th. And we thought that he was in good shape, that he was over the green. He must have hit into the water.
Oh.
But I didn't see what happened, but he did double bogey the par 5, where, you know, that is for a lot of guys.
That approach must have been like his fourth shot.
Yeah,
Yeah,
he might have been he might not have got the ball around the corner and was in the pine straw and had to pitch out and amongst other things. But yeah, that if you look back and maybe think, wow, he lost this tournament.
That's where it happened. 15.
Maybe, yeah, that double bogey was. Everybody else seems to be birding that hole, and you take a double there, man. You're losing shots at the field for sure.
Okay, this next Masters story. This might be the coolest kid out there, but you know sometimes cool isn't far from clueless. I don't know. You tell me. but we had a player take a leak in Rae's Creek. Brian, does that offend you?
Wow.
Should he be reprimanded? Could he be eliminated? Jose Luis Ballester, I believe
he's
the Spanish amateur.
He's an amateur.
21-year-old Spaniard. He does play at Arizona State.
He won the U.S. amateur this year.
He was in need of a bathroom break and decided when you got to go, you got to go. Ballester said he forgot where the bathrooms were left of the tee box on 13.
Yeah.
So he ran down to the tributary to Rae's Creek and relieved himself while Justin Thomas was still on the 12th green. He said, I was like, I really need to pee.
Oops.
Didn't really know where to go. And since JT had an issue on the green, I'm like, I'm just going to sneak here in the river. And probably people would not see me that much, except they did see.
Oh, no.
Leading to?
Oh, no.
A roar from the patrons.
Oh, they were roaring.
It appeared we had a Schwan sighting?
Oh, we had Schwan's out.
They clapped for me, Ballester said. Probably one of the claps that I really got today. Real loud. So that was kind of funny. Says it was not embarrassing at all for me. If I had to do it again, I would do it again.
You're clapping for the Schwans.
Unapologetic urinator at the Masters.
They might have a word with him, though.
Do they have an area to go, though? Like, does he
They have.
13th tee box. They were on the 12th green. On the 13th tee box, there's porta potty.
That's the
13's a par 3, so... Yeah, there's one right there.
That's pretty unforgivable, right?
Just one of those deals that, you know, kids on the job, 21 years old, they're freaking clueless. You know, they don't know what they don't know.
Oh, we're all idiots.
And there's nothing more liberating than an outdoor pee as a gentleman.
I agree.
I think we
took
all
one
know
yesterday.
That. Yeah, did you really? Good for you.
I oftentimes step out in the backyard and relieve myself.
Yeah. I mean, this is pretty amazing right here.
Yeah. But
not the Masters.
My driveway is behind the house. So when I'm back there. So yesterday, I put Remy in the car seat, buckled her up, thought, man, I got to take a leak. This is unfortunate because I don't like to leave the kids when they're buckled into the car for anything. Anything could happen, right?
Yeah. Absolutely.
So I just stepped toward the back.
Did she ask you what you did?
Back of the fence line. Nope. No, she minded her own business.
Would you have more respect for him if he went like Mark Schlereth style and just peed right there in his pants?
No.
You wouldn't.
Only you do that.
You couldn't do that.
I'm not the only one that does that. Professional athletes do that all the time, particularly
in
football.
You did it at work.
In football,
here.
It happens all
the time. You did it here at work.
You did do that at work that one time.
I did do it at work.
Oh, yeah, you stood up right here and did that.
You stood up and did it at work while we were all sitting here doing radio.
You liked it.
You watched it.
No, I did not.
You watched with your eyeballs.
No, I did not.
That might
not.
Be my favorite bet payoff until I smelled it. I'm like, oh
I did smell it.
And then I looked at your shoe and there was just a puddle in. It was pretty
rough. It was all in my Crocs, man.
Yeah, it was rough.
A Croc full of pee. What are you going to do?
Okay, the question is out there for you at 877-881-1053. Why was Cuban so mad at the people chanting Fire Nico? 254 says Cuban was ticked at himself for allowing such disrespect for the team he loves. Wish you never sold. That's Tim in Falls County. Salute to you. Mark Cuban looked full of regret for selling out. There could have been a number of suitors to buy majority stake, but he did it with the devil. He says, like Shark Tank, got greedy and got burned. I don't know. You know, he talked about how the organization was clueless. You know, he had that interview a couple of weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, maybe he's trying to tell us that Dumont's the one that should be blamed. I don't know. He hired Nico, so maybe there's pride attached to that. Yeah. Maybe he's just bothered by the franchise being so torn apart that it's hurting his heart for them to be here. It's like a parent watching your kids fight. It's just tearing him up. But I think he's been an advocate for the fans since he bought the team. And I thought, you don't want to be misaligned with the fans right now. This is the fans' only way of communication. And expression.
Yeah, and he had to expect this coming in. Like this, like you're sitting down there, you knew what to expect last night. We all knew what was going to happen. So you can't sit there and be surprised.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, like you knew there would be Fire Nico chance. But witnessing everything and the emotions that were involved in last night, like it was, I mean, I can only just try and think of what was going through his mind. And it's just looking around at a franchise that was literally just in the NBA Finals a few months ago. Mm-hmm. And I don't know where they're going right now. Everything is, they just nuked themselves.
Yeah, he's in crisis.
Yeah, and a player that you literally spend a career trying to find, you just traded.
Yeah.
And he ain't coming back, unfortunately. And now, what are you left with? You're left with a bunch of broken pieces.
469 says that's not anger. It's shame and guilt. I don't know if he has any guilt. You know, he sold the team. From my understanding, if Mark Cuban had paid Luka Doncic the Supermax contract of $70 million, there wouldn't be the cash flow because he doesn't have the empire of money that would allow him to pay luxury tax like the Warriors to keep a contender together.
Yeah.
From my understanding, Mark Cuban lost money almost every year he owned the Mavs.
He did.
And he couldn't see himself having the kind of revenue, because the Mavs don't draw a lot of revenue, even though they're in a top five market, to pay Luka and keep your PJ Washingtons, Livelys, Gaffords, all these dudes. You know, you got to be willing to pay like $300 million to keep a championship team together. Denver couldn't do it. And, you know, so I don't think that Mark Cuban feels like I let the city down. He was trying to find rich enough owners that could deliver us the dynasty that he knew he could no longer do in the economy of today's modern sport.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right there. I think Mark Cuban, I think he also probably looked at that, you could say that Luka contract, and said, there's no way I can do this. And now, he is a billionaire, but on the terms of billionaires who own NBA teams, he's on the low end of the scale. And if it's hard, if it's possible to be a low end billionaire, well, he is.
Well, we're entering an era where like private ownership of sports teams isn't that viable anymore, because you have to be an insane billionaire.
You have to be a hedge fund, or you have to have some type of business,
because the contracts are so big and the CBA is now so restrictive with the luxury tax stuff. Yeah.
It's dollar for dollar once you go over.
Yeah, it is. I think nowhere close to what it was when he got on board 25 years ago. It's a different landscape.
Yeah, I think he sold this team because he knew he couldn't pay Luka, but he tried to find somebody that potentially could. But ultimately, it ended up, you know, them moving on from it.
Could he have sold like a percentage, like we've seen the Eagles and the Giants now do, kind of what that trend is in the NFL, to try and get like better cash flow? I mean, would that have been possible to give him enough money then to work with to get the deal done?
I mean, so he could have sold 10% of it, got $300 million, and used that. You know, I think he could have.
Because it seems a little bit like, he made the sale, but he thought that he'd still be involved in the basketball side of it, which clearly he's not.
I mean, that's a great question, right? But so in order to then keep the team, he would have to do that consistently
every year.
They would be losing nine figures you know, in order to keep a championship team together. And who knows, like, I think if you were looking at it from an investment perspective, just sheerly investment perspective, maybe you could make the Mavs the Bulls of the 2020s, right? And now you're winning so much that now you're a global brand, but the risk reward at your age, I have a chance to get $3 billion, set my family up for life, spend the rest of my life with my kids, and I can still pull for the Mavs while being governor, while Vegas writes the checks to keep this dynasty alive. I trust that Mark Cuban's intentions were in a pure and great spot.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think that he sold it of like the scrutiny factor with his kids and like them not wanting to have to deal with it. But I think ultimately the financial aspect of what was going to amount, like Walchuk, you ask a great question about doing the thing where private equity buys a percentage of it. Ultimately, you're just sort of kicking the can of the inevitable.
True.
Yeah. You can't really sustain that. And so eventually it was going to fall in the lap of, are my kids going to have to take this on? Eventually he was going to have to sell if that's what he didn't, you know, if he didn't want to
go
that.
All in.
Yeah. Okay, I would say, by the way, other takeaways. DeChambeau now is 4-under through 16. He just birdied 16, so he's in the hunt a little bit here, finishing up his first round at the Masters. I would say, by the way, I know I watchdog sports cries, quality sports cry from Luka. Show people you're emotional, but you can keep it together. You don't want to totally break down. A little quiver, a little tear.
No boo-hooing.
Nailed it. Brian Windhorst wrote, this was the night that Luka fully became a Laker. That was him and as his teammates and staff supported him and rallied around him, lifting him up. You know, I think we'll see shortly within the next 90 days or so that the draft and free agency is going to be wrapping up. You know, who else could want out of this situation? And I do wonder, you know, what Kyrie and AD and Jason Kidd are thinking right now. Like, it has gotten so bad, I would look at this as a sinking ship. Now, I'm sure Nico is selling everybody, and they love and respect Nico. Like, Kyrie and AD's generation of basketball, Nico's damn near a god, right? He's a mentor. He was the guy at Nike that everybody had to go through. And, you know, the way that he goes about his business is, you know, mentor stuff. So maybe with that generation, you know, they'll look at Nico and be like, well, you believed in us, so we want to bring this thing back. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. If it wasn't for those previous relationships, I would imagine a bunch of people would want to be getting out of here in the first opportunity. Zach Cram, ESPN, looked at what's next for Dallas, top priority, getting Kyrie back healthy. And then they have their pick and two other firsts. And 12 players earning contracts between $2 and $16 million, which is a good place to trade from. My question for you guys, would you rather see them use those picks and trade for players, maybe a KD to try to push this thing over the top, or do you want to trade your players for picks and just plunge right back into the lottery and, you know, that spot we were right before we got Luka?
I think I'm on board with Nuke and this whole thing this summer. I don't think that's in their plans at all, but I would certainly be on board with that.
Yeah, I think that's the way I would lean as well. I wonder if you could do a compromise like, let's try to make this happen, and then if it's not good at the trade deadline, then we're pushing the button when maybe contenders are desperate for a guy like AD.
Yeah, that's a great point.
Yeah, you could probably wait and see if Kyrie's able to come back or what his time frame is.
I don't know how you can watch that game last night and think he could help you that way.
That wasn't good, but, you know, AD's not a consistent, dominant player.
You know, and I know he had a great game the other day where, you know, the game-winning basket and all that stuff like that, but that was a big stage. That was a big opportunity for us as Mavs fans to sit there and realize, okay, this is why we went and got this guy.
Yeah.
In a showdown game with all the emotion involved, that, you know, that he did not play better.
Okay.
That bothers me.
How did Patrick Dumont become convinced that this was a good idea? More detail revealed in the timeline that caused the Mavs to trade Luka. And this is where, you know, you really have to have diamond hands with your stars and refuse to get swept up in how frustrating they can be. Apparently, the 5-game, 10-day roadie in late January, right before the trade, they wanted him to go and be with the team. And Luka's camp felt like, hey, we came back too soon, and that's why it re-aggravated in Christmas. So the plane rides and travel won't be good for our recovery. We're staying home. And that decision reportedly confirmed to Nico, not that he should trade him, but that he should pick up the phone and call Rob Pelinka while he was out there on that road trip. And that was the catalyst that reignited the conversations with Rob Pelinka.
Yeah.
You know, it's crazy that Nico, with such a stoic reputation, could get so wrapped up in the emotion. I think that's really profound here.
I believe that if Luka was still playing, they would have never traded him.
100%. A source told The Athletic in this report, okay, this is Athletic, like four or five different reporters contributing to this post-game piece last night. Patrick Dumont, only being on the job for months at the time, felt like Nico had done such an amazing job adding Washington and Gavard and Lively and Najee, and I guess you could throw Quentin Grimes in there, that he just thought, my God, this dude has a gift for team building.
Yeah.
Since I've got here, everything he does, it's like, we're going to trade. We got to get better. We got to trade. Now we're contenders. Just let him do this one. Can you imagine if he trades Luka, what he's going to get back? I mean, we got a great defender in Max Christie and Anthony freaking Davis here. Go, Nico. And it's that utter lack of experience that I think is going to be the narrative of record, you know, as we move on to the future. Like, why was this possible that it could even happen? It's because you had a brand new owner on the job that, again, didn't know what he didn't know.
See, that's why I don't know why anybody didn't step up.
Yeah.
And maybe they did. Tim said this. I'm sorry. Tim McMahon did say this, that there were some people in the organization that did step up and try and convince him not to do it. So, but I just can't believe that he wouldn't listen.
Wasn't it too late at that point?
I think Tim said that. Am I wrong about this, guys?
Not everybody was on in favor of trading him.
Yeah, not everybody was in. So that tells me that somebody said, whoa, what are we doing here?
Yeah.
So maybe DeMont just, maybe that Nico was so adamant about doing it.
Yeah.
That everybody else's voice didn't even matter.
I think he was so ticked off that somebody, quote, an employee, wasn't doing exactly what he said. Because when you're in the corporate world and you're as powerful as he was, people shake in their boots. Mm-hmm. And for the first time, probably in a long time for Nico, there was an employee inside his building that pretended like he had farted everywhere he went. Luka didn't even want to talk to him. And I think that drove a very powerful man mad. And as a result, You know, maybe he convinced himself that this was actually an increase in value. Stars and Jets coming up at 7 o'clock. The Jets sporting the number one defense in the NHL, allowing just 2.3 points per game. Stars are suddenly on a three-game winless streak. And it's starting to feel reminiscent of the 2023 Rangers run, where they couldn't get anything right for the last few games. But I think tonight you look at Robertson and Johnson and Rantanen and Hintz, and, you know, against teams like Winnipeg, you need excellent players to be the difference. And, you know, maybe you can get them 3-1 like you did last time they were at the AAC. Abdul Carter's medical recheck in Indianapolis showed the stress reaction in his foot is healing. So he could be good to go here for teams interested in taking him in the top five. Okay, and then a college football note. Arch Manning finally becoming QB1 and rebuffing the transfer offer says, I wanted to be the quarterback of the University of Texas, and sometimes it's worth the wait. So congrats to him, and best of luck to the Longhorns. It's time now to go into the Pimp Cup, where Lucius has LA Live.
A Thirsty Thursday Ladies Night edition of LA Live right after the great Rick James.
Well, all right, you squares, it's time you smoke. Fire up this funk and let's have a toke. It'll make you dance with some of everything. Everybody get high.
R.I.P. Daddy Juice. Area of Madison Square Garden, after the chase was about winding up, Robert Kardashian, Kim's dad, and he was representing OJ. He's reading this suicide letter that OJ had written. And we're all standing in the press room. I'm standing next to Amara Shah. And he's going through this letter saying goodbye to people or whatever. And then all of a sudden, he goes, and my good friend Amara Shah, and the whole room looks at Amara Shah. And Amara just looks down to the ground, and then he just walks away and got in a limo and just dissed a but you freaking appeared.
Wow.
He just disappeared. I'm sounding like LeBron.
Let's go.
Just disappeared.
It disappeared. Excuse me.
It's a regular disappearance.
Yeah, excuse me. Don't focus on that.
Yeah, okay. Incredible.
I like the correction, bro.
And just dissed a Pierce, excuse me, Fritchie, freaking Pierce.
Wow.
He just disappeared. I thought, excuse me.
He just disappeared.
Excuse me. Freaking Pierce. Excuse me. Come on, you guys, calm down. Don't make a big deal out of that.
Hey, yeah, man. RIP Daddy Juice, a.k.a. Blueberry Juice, OJ Simpson. It's the day, right?
Yes, sir.
April's a hell of a month for him. April's a hell of a month for Daddy Juice. I'm pretty sure he went over the paperwork when he got up to wherever he was supposed to be. He was like, oh, shoot, come on. We've been waiting for you. We're printing out your little file right now.
You got him going up, huh?
Yeah. You know, everybody goes up until you go down.
It's like if you could have just stayed home in the month of April, you'd be all right.
You know, okay, just don't go my
take
guy.
That month off.
All right, man, let's get into this. Oh. LA Live 105.3 The Fan. This is a Thirsty Thursday Late Night Edition, April 10th, 2025. Welcome, people. Welcome, Tolos. Welcome, first time listeners. Welcome, last time listeners. Never listen to you guys again. Shout out to everybody on these highways. Y'all be safe out here, man. Somebody ran into my son the other day.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, Tolos got his brand new truck, bro. But he's alive and well, not hurt, not in the hospital. You have to, everything else we can deal with.
Yeah.
You dig what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Would have been a different call if it was a different story.
Yeah. Some of those car wrecks, man, they tear it up real good. It gives you that feeling of appreciation immediately after, like, wow.
Oh, that truck was tow up. And so was the BMW that hit him. And he spun around and went face to face with a 18-wheeler.
Oh my God.
And the 18-wheeler hit him too, but the 18-wheeler was doing trying to slow down.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow, dude.
I told him, bro. I was like, man, well, you know what? It might sound crazy. I told him. Might sound crazy, but it's a good thing that you had this accident. You can walk away from it right now. Because now you really respect how fast things can happen to you. Hold up.
Yeah.
Had to hit that pole. Sorry. But yeah, you can realize how fast things can happen to you. So you move about a little bit more safely out there on these roads, man.
I think every wreck I've been in, it's made me safer.
It's the sounds. Boom, boom, boom. And you're just out of control. It goes real slow. Shout out to everybody on these roads. Interstate 20, 30, 45. I-35 in Louisville, that bridge, I'm scared of you.
Dude, I can't believe you said that. I avoided it last night.
Scared
I had
it.
To get up to the colony. It said, go 35. I got up there, and I said, hell no, I'm going 635 to toll. Oh, I knew it was coming for
hell
me.
Hell no.
I mean, it gets so narrow up it there. Does. They got so walls.
Scared, yeah. Bro.
35 is like a damn third world country.
The on and off ramps
no
are
disrespect
so
to third world countries, because I'm sure some of them have nicer freeways than 35.
Yeah, bro, it's scary, man. Especially when it's raining or something like that, some type of weather event is happening. Please, I do not want to be over there.
Okay, the 121 to 35 exchange, you were like 700 feet in the air. You know, I want to throw that in there as well.
That's scary.
That's another one I avoid.
It's always the ones with the walls, too. They yeah. are intimidating because yeah, you can see where everybody else hit the wall before.
Yeah, no
you
shoulder.
See a rearview mirror or something right there. Yeah. You're like, oh, my God. Your girl's trying to talk to you while you're like, oh, my God, look.
Why are there skid marks on yeah. the walls?
Debris.
This is awful.
LA Live is sponsored by Greystone Roofing and Construction. That is greystone-roofing.com and G-Bag of the Day. We do it every weekday on The Fan at 2:30. If you see anything floating out there, don't be afraid to hit me up at Lucky Lucius P. That is L-U-C-I-O-U-S on social media. Lucius Alexander on Facebook. You can follow us all. Find G-Bag Nation on Twitter. Our winner right here, Bobby Belt. Shoots at the nosebleed, boys. But they got something for him, too.
It had to be you guys. Had to be the nosebleeds.
Later!
I thought we were cool.
Later.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Damn, son, where'd you find this?
Stop and blare this music as I get into my story time. Zach and Eric blew it when they stopped Young Belted just for time. Burned a bit to know that they would go and pick a fight with me. I'll tourniquet these hoes because I know just how to stop a bleed. Let me start with Wolchuk and I'll send him to his mommy's arms. He thinks that he's LeBron, but let's be honest, can't play Bronny's part. Rhymes that hit so hard, he'll damn. Probably leave here with a busted lip. I'll post that shit on YouTube and I'll title it a custom vid.
Damn.
Got me feeling like it's too brute. Bet the shit go five times and you have to hear it every day. Got that nostril plug, now the other one is trying to bleed. I forgot his name, like he's out here repping Micah P. Does he ever talk? I just don't know how Brody got this far. Probably should go back to selling all those busted lemon cars. Back up the decade, get your vote right, she a follow, and get the EpiPen because these nuts you about to
Oh!
I just caught that one.
Go yeah,
back lemon to selling
doors.
The busted lemon cars.
Yeah. That stung, bro.
Yeah, it's pretty good right there, Bobby. But y'all dropped a hot one, man. Playing some more for G-Bag of the Day for Shizzo.
Yeah, I think it's coming up at 6:20 as well, if you want to stick around for it.
Good, 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 good. LA Live 105.3 The Fan on a ladies' night. Boys, are you familiar with Belle Biv DeVoe?
Why does that ring a bell?
Belle Biv DeVoe.
Why does it ring a bell? Hey. Since then I met the sexy girl. They're from the boy band New Edition.
Okay.
Oh. Ronnie, Bobby, Ricky, Mike, Ralph, Johnny. Well, Ricky Bell, the Bell of Belle Biv DeVoe, him and his wife, they just had a baby. Well, they're expecting a baby.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah, they made an announcement they're expecting a baby, their first child together. My man said, wow. I'm only telling you this because, okay, my man is 57, yeah. She's 42. Yeah. They've been married for 20 years together and just now having their first child. Yeah.
Great bloopers.
20 years, bro. Yeah.
It is a blessing, you know. I think some people would say it's unfair to the kid, yeah. But at least the kid gets life. You know, you could have 20 years with your parents or no life.
I'm trying to figure out how he pulled it off. How'd you pull that off for 20 years? Unless it was like some type of medical situation that we just don't know about. They're not telling us.
Yeah.
If you did, hey, y'all made a great decision, in my opinion, because you got to live your whole lives with each other.
Uh-huh.
Before the baby comes in.
Yeah, yeah. You know, I think more and more families are doing that, waiting longer. I mean, I think my parents started their family when they were like 23 years old. So, and that was the norm back then. But now I think, yeah, get out there, enjoy life. Because once you start that family, it's definitely time to settle down.
Yeah, everything changes when that baby comes around. Yep. 20 years. I thought that was so strange, man. Good for them, though.
It's a long time.
That's a long time to be with somebody.
Yeah.
The representative goes away. Like, you get to meet the real person at this point. 20 years.
Yeah.
I always thought that was wild. Let's see what else we got. Speaking of boy bands, Dawson might feel me on this one. Back in elementary.
Yeah.
Boy bands introduced me to that low vibrational feeling of jealousy.
Okay.
Yeah, one of my, elementary crushes, her name was April. Mm-hmm. And the teacher had a little thing where if you do something good in class or whatever, you can put your poster up in the classroom for the the year or whatever. Mm-hmm. She made some good grades, so she decided to put New Kids on the Block up there.
Oh, yeah.
God, I hated them because that's my crush. And then they're just like fawning over them.
Oh, Joey.
Oh, I just had this fire shoot over my body.
I was like, yeah.
Why am I so angry? What's going on right now?
Yeah, I feel that for sure. I think I was in seventh or eighth grade. New Kids on the Block were just on fire, right? And that's like, that's an age of awakening, right? So you can imagine, like, whew, it was rough.
Yeah, it makes me hella angry. And then the teacher had to sit
from it
in alphabetical order. My last name was Alexander, so I had to sit at the front of the class. That means I could look right at that poster of the New Kids on the Block all year. Tell you what. Not one time did I look those fools in their eyes. Not one time.
Couldn't keep your eyes off
that
mullet.
They're staring at you.
Wouldn't give them the respect. I don't know what them fools look like to this day. Broke my heart. Speaking of celebrity crushes and whatnot and all that other stuff, you guys know your girl celebrity crush?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, some of them. Wahlberg.
Oh, yeah, Wahlberg.
And there's this other dude. I forget what he was in, but... drives me crazy. She's always looking for shows with him in it.
Drives me crazy.
Sorry, bro.
Oh, is this one guy in it?
Sorry. You guys know you don't nobody in here?
I couldn't. I mean, I'm sure I probably got a decent idea of a couple of dudes, but
I got an idea.
She doesn't make it clear and obvious.
Nice. Yeah. Good for you.
Yeah, it's nice.
Be respectful.
It's nice.
Be respectful. I don't gotta hear all about this.
Yeah, I get it.
You're gonna have girls' night with your friends. You can talk about this stuff.
No, she was pretty hell-bent on watching the remember that guy Thor who did like a documentary for Disney like a biohacking like thing.
Chris,
she couldn't wait to watch that episode Helmsley? Every night. And he's just shirtless the whole time, sweating. Yeah.
Not Aquaman though, not the Aquaman guy.
No, well, I mean
had
I'm
the
sure
long hair, you kind of look like him a little bit.
I'm sure she had a little something for that, but probably Thor is the one seed.
Yeah, I think my wife might still have an email address that says Mrs. Nick Jonas.
Oh,
so she's a Jonas Brothers truther, man.
Jeez, how about your gal over there, brother? Sounds like she likes somebody.
Yeah, she does.
Bob Marley.
Yeah, she's in Jamaica right now. Let me ask her that. I'll ask her what she thinks. But yeah, get back to me on this one. I don't know. We've only been dating now. It's almost been a year.
That's good. That's good, man.
Yeah.
That's cool, bro.
Good to know.
Yeah, my girl's crush is her damn self.
Oh, there you go.
Her damn self. Nobody loves her like she loves herself. I tell you what, brother.
Yeah.
That's a fact, Jack.
That Miley Cyrus song, I Could Buy Myself Flowers, really resonates with her.
Yeah.
I found him. It's this dude, Tom Hardy.
You know? Oh, Tom Hardy. Yeah.
Pretty cool dude, I think.
Rugged.
Yeah, he is.
Yeah.
Woolchuck know all about him. Oh, yeah, Tom Hardy.
That's my celebrity crush.
Yeah.
He's a guy's guy.
Hey, the Justice Department will allow Mel Gibson to get his gun rights back.
Oh.
He lost his gun rights in 2011.
Probably
good. Shoot somebody?
No, he didn't
shoot. Oh, he went crazy.
He went crazy.
Well,
yeah.
He's been kind of loose for a while, bro.
A little loose.
Yeah, he lost his gun rights to own a firearm in 2011 after pleading no contest to a misdemeanor domestic violence assault case.
Oh, yeah, that'll do it.
On his girlfriend.
Oh.
Got hit with a $600 fine, 36 months of probation. That's a minute. 52 hours of counseling. That's pretty good. You needed that 52 hours.
Week and a half.
16 hours of community service. Mel Gibson reportedly slapped his girlfriend. He said she was being, he admitted to smacking her. Said she was being hysterical. Try to calm her down.
Slap some sense into you, bro.
Get a hold of yourself, dame.
Said she was being hysterical. You should look up what they used to do for women back in the day when they thought they were being hysterical.
Oh, no.
Holy smokes.
They bleed you out?
No, bro.
I don't know.
Freaky doctors, dog.
I don't know if I want to look.
Some freaky doctors, bro.
Oh, I actually saw something about this recently.
Wild, man. The things that we got away with back in the day. That's crazy.
I know what'll fix you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. Tickle these ovaries.
Here. Yeah. Exactly. That's what you needed right there.
Gosh.
Yeah, he punched her so hard at one point that it broke both of her teeth, two of her teeth.
Oh, dang.
He waved a gun at her. All while she was holding that child of theirs.
Oh my God.
Oh no.
Yeah, why are they giving him his guns back again?
Come on, that's all I'm saying.
Yeah, probably not.
He paid the fine.
Well, yeah, he's one of Hollywood's ambassadors now, so he's good to go. Hold on, I'm gonna play this. This is your boy Sean Connery.
You did an interview in which you said Not the worst thing to slap a woman now and then. As I remember, you said you don't do it with a clenched fist. It's better to do it with an open hand. Yeah, remember that?
Yeah.
I didn't love that.
I haven't changed my opinion.
You haven't?
No. Standing on it, bro.
Not at all.
You think it's good to slap a woman?
No, I don't think it's good. I don't think it's bad. I don't think it's that bad. I think that it depends entirely on the circumstances and if it merits it.
Yeah. What would merit it?
Well, if you have tried everything else, and women are pretty good at this, they can't leave it alone.
Yeah.
They don't want to have the last word, and you give them the last word, but they're not happy with the last word. They want to say it again and get into a really provocative situation. Then I think it's absolutely right.
To give a good slap.
Yeah, absolutely.
Smack on the face.
Smack bottom.
Smack on the mouth.
Shake and not stirred.
Yeah, that's crazy right there, bro.
That's wild. That is wild.
That's wild stuff.
You've already tried everything else.
Man.
There's been a void in my TV life, too, since the White Lotus Season 3 is wrapped up. I loved it.
The finale was really good.
I loved it. They rushed that finale because they had too many storylines out there.
Yeah.
Way too many storylines. You couldn't wrap it up.
Still have some questions.
But lots of questions. Why did old boy come back to the hotel in the first place?
Right.
You know what you did. You got to bounce, man. You can't go back to the hotel that the guy owns.
Yeah.
After walking in his house, pulling a gun on him.
Like, is it a surprise you ran into each other?
Yeah. Come on, man. Sad stuff. But, I'm going through withdrawals, but tonight it should be okay because Black Mirror is dropping.
Oh, a new season,
new
huh?
season of Black Mirror. I think it's season 7.
Man, that's great stuff.
Black Mirror right there.
I only see them randomly, and I'm always like, man, I need to sit down and watch all these.
Yeah.
They're scary to watch because there's never any happy endings on these shows.
Dude, those will mess with you.
Yeah.
They make you think.
They feel like reality now, right?
Yeah.
Black Mirror means your phone, too, by the way. That mirror you see your phone, just hold it. That's that Black Mirror right there.
Yeah.
Oh, by the way, LA Live is sponsored by Greystone Roofing and Construction. That is greystone-roofing.com. Holla at them, people. And I holla at you tomorrow, Lord willing, and the creek don't rise. That's my time. My name is Lucius Alexander. I holla. Peace.
Well, thank you, Lucius. LA Live every night about 5:40 here in the G-Bag Nation. 4 hours down, one to go. Okay, and we'll check what's in store for us next.
Is this the biggest sports lie ever told? Have you ever had an announcement spoiled? And one early development to feel good about your Texas Rangers. That's next.